Welcome to another edition of Money Matters. My name is Mark Gunabrudy. How y'all doing? This is going to be show 340, entitled Market Inconsistencies and Bipolar Reactions. And boy, isn't that true. Anyway, welcome to Money Matters again. Once again, discussions in this show should not be construed as specific recommendations or investment advice. Always consult with your investment professional before making important investment decisions. Views expressed are my opinions only and do not necessarily represent those of this station, its staff, members, or underwriters, and should not be construed as investment advice or solicitation to buy or sell anything. Money Matters is about money. As money is matter, matter of money affect us all in some way or another, whether you have a lot of it, a little bit, or none of it. Controls our economy, our country, our planet in some way or another. Controls the very way you and I live our lives. It's about your money, your lack of it, or abundance of it. Your lives and livelihood. In short, Money Matters is about you. Okay, so the market continues to plow ever higher here, there, and everywhere. I have to admit, it is surprising. You know, we've always got a double since the March COVID low. Third week of March was the low of around 18,000. We're pushing 36,000, referring to the Dow, of course. And you have to realize we're at an all-time high in mid-February 2020, 29,000 something. And 3 weeks later, from March 1st or 2nd or whatever it was, in the third week of March, 21 days, the Dow lost 38% in 21 days, or basically, what, 15 trading days. So if you had $1 million in there, you were losing 20, 30 grand a day. And then it turned, and there we go. And now we're almost a double. With the economy in anemic environment and inflation going crazy and just, you know. Anyway, I've written a lot of articles, done a lot of shows on inflation. You believe me now, right? Yeah, inflation is definitely here to stay. And we did some last week's show and some articles actually on hyperinflation. Now, if you don't know what hyperinflation is, it's inflation on steroids. And the problem with hyperinflation, and we covered that last week, or 2 weeks ago, is that it breaks things in the economy and gives false signals to buyers and sellers throughout the economy. It's basically really, really bad. I can always tell you that there has never been a country that has destroyed itself from a strong currency. So countries always collapse, at least economically, by having a weak currency, which translates into they always collapse by having too much inflation. Because the government bodies decide to just print until the cows come home. That's what they do. And then the currency loses its value, and then they print more, and it continues to lose more value, and so on and so forth. And so our economy has never collapsed from too strong of a dollar. It's always from too weak of a dollar. But we're going down that path again. It's a repeatable situation, and we're doing the same thing. So what's happening now is the economy is giving us analysts a lot to think about, because a lot of this stuff doesn't make any sense. And it's what happens when we see economies or free markets messed with. It seems like almost daily we're getting more news and all economic news, and some of it makes sense and much of it does not make sense. First of all, we all know that inflation rages on and is capturing headlines almost daily and probably capturing a lot of your money out of your wallet daily. The price increases have been astonishing. They're causing sticker shock for me and sticker shock for you at the grocery store, hardware store, gas pump, and just about everywhere else where we buy stuff. Seems like everything is going up in price and by a lot. In the face of these price increases, Washington continues to churn out more dollars in the order of trillions for a seemingly endless parade of stimulus programs, right? Paycheck protection, unemployment bonuses, stimulus, infrastructure. One would think the government had never heard of monetary inflation. Now, those of you who listen to the show know that monetary inflation is the worst and the most common kind. Monetary inflation is a result of introducing more and more currency into an economy. However, the rank and file of economic analysts that I read, many are mentioning the word hyperinflation more and more. And although I detailed it in last show, if you don't know what hyperinflation is, like I said, it's inflation on steroids and some. If you've never experienced it, it is It is something you don't want to experience, but it is actually a marvel to behold, but a very bad one. Meanwhile, in the face of a rising stock market and inflation, we are seeing record numbers of people quitting their jobs. Now, some news media outlets are reporting that people are quitting to find higher paying jobs. I don't believe that. This is all well and good to claim that, but I feel, in my opinion, this is not completely true. If it were, you wouldn't see the massive job vacancies, over 10 million. And many businesses are still struggling to fill job openings. How can we see that with an unemployment level pushing 10%? Now, officially it's 5, but even Jerome Powell, head of the Federal Reserve, currently, he may get replaced, but he's claiming it's close to 10, and I believe him. More and more likely, I think people are quitting their jobs because of the vaccine mandates. The mass anti-vaccine protests don't resemble the BLM riots, for sure. There are not as many of those as there was BLM crowds. But these anti-vaccine protests are definitely on the increase. What do you think about that? People are just fed up with it. They don't think it's legal. They don't think it's constitutional. I give no opinion on the show one way or the other. I'm just reporting what we're seeing. We are seeing prognostications of a stock market Armageddon-like crash, and we're seeing other analysts insisting the stock market has a lot further to run. Violent stock rotations are whipsawing retirement balances. It's hard for mom-and-pop investors to know which way to turn. I know, because I get called by a lot of them. The buy-and-hold crowd, remember, buy-and-hold forever, continue to oscillate between fear and greed, the two emotions that are in the stock market by the investor. 1 month, they're hammered, like the three-week 38% Dow wipeout of March 2020 that I've mentioned a little earlier in the show. And the next 12 months, which saw the Dow almost double to where it is now. Meanwhile, the crypto crowd runs amok, those trading the Cybercoin. First, it was Bitcoin, right? And now there's like hundreds of versions. I mean, look under Cybercoins, there's hundreds of them. That reeks of a mania to me. The chart of the price action of Bitcoin and some of these cyber coins reeks of mania. And the fact that there are millions of hundreds of new Bitcoins, that reeks of mania. And stories of overnight zillionaires are tempting new investors to trade Cybercoin. I can tell you, trading Cybercoin is challenging. From talking with those that trade Cybercoins, and in my limited experience of doing it, navigating the different exchanges that handle cyber coins are confusing and tricky, at least to me. I tried to buy a few cyber coins, and boy, the exchanges to doing that is, they're tough. I mean, I had my kid do it. And I know a cyber coin trader who does a lot of it, and he said, yeah, the exchange are like the Wild West, I believe it. There are a few experienced coin traders that might tell me a different story, that the exchanges are usable. But like I said, I think it's more like the Wild West when you get yourself into the cyber coin arena. I don't know. You know, I don't know. We'll see. In summary, the whole trading and investing climate seems a little bit crazy right now. Wild speculation seems the order of the day. We've got IPOs, SPAC, cyber coin, and many more assets bouncing wildly. It's just crazy. The insane action is likely reflecting the trillions in money sloshing around, most of it manufactured by the Fed and other central bankers of the world to minimize the effect of COVID and subsequent economic damage it has caused. I hope it all works out somehow, but I have to admit I have my doubts it will, period. You're listening to Money Matters. We'll be right back.
try to sit, I'll catch your feet. If you get too cold, I'll catch your heat. If you take a walk, I'll catch your feet. Catch me.
And welcome back to Money Matters. My name is Mark Cuniberti. So you're listening to show, what is this, 340, I believe, 340 shows, wow, called Market Inconsistencies and Bipolar Reactions. So yeah, the markets have been just real crazy. So I'm thinking that the Federal Reserve has backed themselves into some sort of a corner. It is said that problems have solutions, where predicaments just have outcomes. See the difference? There's problems, you have a solution. Predicament is there is no solution. It's just an outcome. I believe that the U.S. economy has a predicament. More so, not the U.S. economy really, but the Federal Reserve and all of us in it have a predicament. The U.S. economy's future, and indeed our immediate way of life, awaits an outcome, not a solution. It's an outcome because the Feds, in my opinion, can do nothing about what is coming. Federal Reserve Chief Alan Greenspan used the word conundrum. Yet conundrums have outcomes, but they are defined as difficult outcomes. Predicaments have outcomes, but not solutions. So, well, conundrums do have solutions. They're just difficult solutions. The predicament we now find ourselves in revolves around the subject of last week's show, which is inflation, and taking into consideration the latest $1 trillion spending bill just passed, and the other $6 trillion or so spent for COVID relief in 20 and 21. Deficit spending and inflation go hand in hand. Now, I say deficit spending because the COVID relief and the infrastructure bill is deficit spending because they don't have the money. They borrowed it. There is no argument that deficit spending and inflation go hand in hand. When you spend in a deficit, when you borrow a lot of money, inflation will follow. That is not argumentative, and it can't be argued. It's an economic reality. The debate, however, is not whether inflation follows massive deficit spending. It does. It is now, and you obviously know that by going to the store and buying stuff. The question is, can the Fed stop inflation if it gets out of hand? And the answer to that question is yes, they can. But that is not the predicament. The predicament is what is the effect on the economy when the Feds have to use the tools they have to stop inflation. Therein lies the predicament. What I mean by that is there is no way to stop inflation without, or hyperinflation, bad inflation, without tremendous damage to you and I and the rest of the economy, and because it's the United States, the rest of the globe as well. If inflation begins to accelerate to unacceptable levels, do you think inflation right now is unacceptable? Well, it's going pretty fast now, right? But if it goes to unacceptable levels, real damage to the economy and all of us in it will occur shortly thereafter. The most obvious problem with hyperinflation or bad inflation is people won't be able to afford to buy the things they need. But as horrible as that is, that will be the least of your problems. Really bad inflation, known as hyperinflation, or even when we approach hyperinflation, can cause breakages in the economic system. Many of these breakages can actually stop it from predictably functioning. What I mean by that is, in a normal free market economy, there are signals that happen every day, almost in every transaction, that transmit what's happening in the marketplace. It transmits signals to all those that are participating in the marketplace, which is anybody that has to procure anything. When I say marketplace, I don't mean the stock market. I mean anybody that has to buy or sell something is in the marketplace. When the signals to all of us start to fail because of hyperinflation, things break. And we can see even false signals or misleading signals to all concerned, which again is all of us. So in other words, if you go to the store and you see the prices rising on grapes, for instance, that sends a signal to you that something is going on in the grape market, that supply is getting tight or a lot of people are buying grapes. And the people that sell grapes say, well, we gotta grow more, or we have to fix maybe the disease that's wiping them out. And the people that buy grapes say that, okay, that's signaling that these are kind of expensive, so we're going to buy something else. Maybe we'll buy cranberries. But since markets, again, not just the stock markets, but all the markets, when you buy gas, when you buy food, Christmas presents, whatever, all of that, and the people that supply the things that you buy, depend on accurate economic signals. There's a lot of people buying grapes. We got to buy more. We have to grow more. There's not many people buying grapes. We don't have to grow as many. So those are the signals that goes to the buyers and the sellers that regulate the flow of goods and services dependably with fair prices from suppliers to end users. End users are you and I. Suppliers are those that make these things. When these signals between buyers and sellers fail, the normal flow of everything, grapes, cereal, whatever it is, getting A to the market B, those signals get interrupted, or they may even fail altogether. When those signals fail between buyers and sellers, suppliers and consumers, that can translate into all sorts of distortions. It could be empty store shelves at best and just purchasing chaos at worst. It could be shortages, empty shelves, runs, black markets, just things break and things get real ugly. If you want to see a recent example of a market failure due to intervention, look at the job market. That is a classic example of a market failure. Why is that a failure in the market? Because the signals are contradicting each other. We've got relatively high employment. Federal Reserve Chief Jerome Powell said 10% a month and a half ago. Yet, in the midst of this really high employment, we have millions of unfilled jobs and help wanted signs everywhere. How can those two coexist? How can we have high unemployment with help wanted signs? It's odd. In spite of rising prices, unemployment checks that have pretty much dried up, bonuses and stimulus programs ending, employers still can't find enough workers. How can that be? We've got rising prices, employment bonuses are ending, and the Paycheck Protection Plans and all the stimulus is ending. They still can't find anybody willing to work. This is a failure of a market, the employment market. Now, this is a serious problem, but this will pale in comparison of what will happen should we even get close to a hyperinflationary environment. Not only will the signals break, and probably you won't be able to buy as much stuff, or maybe you will, it'll be super expensive. We don't know what the end result of hyperinflation is. It usually does. And in price controls or wage controls by the government, which don't work, and they lead to empty supermarket shelves. But the government does have tools to stop inflation. how do you stop hyperinflation or bad inflation? Well, it's use the same tools that you use to corral normal inflation, except on a much more drastic scale. The Feds would first increase interest rates, okay, and likely not the quarter point interest rates that we have seen in the past. Interest rates were increased 3% in one day in the 80s by Paul Volcker, then Fed Chief Paul Volcker. 3% in one day. Wow. If anybody did that now, the markets would be completely obliterated. The whole world would fall apart. You couldn't do it. It's too much debt. Experts agree. Everybody agrees on this one. An increase of a 3% increase overnight interest rate would crash the economy, probably the world. The other things that they can do, and they would do, to try to rein in hyperinflation, they would increase interest rates, yes. Social programs, they would have to be eliminated or drastically cut. Government spending basically would have to be stopped. Deficit spending. They couldn't print any more money. You just can't do it. The government spending would have to slow down, and they'd have to reverse the repo market. That's kind of a complicated explanation, but basically they'd have to remove cash from the banking system. They'd go to the banks and say, give us money. We have to get cash out of the system because the problem is we have too much cash in the system that's causing hyperinflation. The credit markets were businesses, that's a feeding trough of businesses, okay? Credit markets would likely convulse into a heart attack. They would freeze up, and you would now have unpredictable yields on fast-moving interest rates. In other words, the bond market, where all, you know, everybody thinks the bond market is a supermarket where they sell bonds wrapped in nice boxes. You know, bond market is where companies and corporations and everybody, governments, states, everybody gets money to operate day to day. There's money going in and out of the bond market all the time. Some people need cash, other companies don't need cash at that time. So that particular credit market would freeze. And it did in 08 and 09, and that's when the government had to do all sorts of stuff. And what they did is they print money to unfreeze the credit markets. But remember, now the situation would be that they have massive inflation because they printed money. So they can't print money to fix the problem. Zimbabwe tried that, and we got, so they said, sextillion quadrillion percent inflation annually. I covered that last show. It was off the charts. So the credit markets would freeze up and the Feds would be powerless. They couldn't do anything because the only thing they can do is print money. And you can't print money because that's what caused a problem. So I can comfortably say government, business, and individual balance sheets would explode due to rising interest rates and the cost to service existing debt, both by businesses and individuals, would skyrocket. In essence, all hell would break loose. All hell would break loose. And the Feds, only having one tool in the box, actually they have two tools. The first tool is printing money. They'd be powerless. They couldn't do that because that caused a problem. They could raise interest rates to try to slow the consumption of money down. You do that by raising the interest rates. That would cause credit markets to freeze, defaults. It would just be a mess. Simply put, the predicament is that the very thing that the Feds would normally use to address economic sickness, such as freezing credit markets, defaults, the things that they would normally use to address that, they can't use because it is the cure, is the cause of the disease. The printing of money is what caused the hyperinflation, so they can't use it. It would only make it worse. Wouldn't work anyway. There's no solution, in my opinion. With no solution, the Feds have essentially painted themselves and subsequently you too into a proverbial economic corner. Hence the statement. There's a statement, print or die. The Feds are in the print or die mode, which is we got to keep printing or the economy would fold up with 4 feet up. As my wife used to say when she would see a dead rat, 4 feet up. Well, right now they're in the print or die. Okay, we have to keep printing or the economy will fold up. That eventually turns into print and die because you can't just continue to print forever. I mean, at some point, all the money they print goes into the economy and you get massive inflation. Now, we could be seeing the beginning of that now. Like I said, I've seen a handful of analysts that are using the word hyperinflation. I've never used that word in prognosticating what's going to happen. Okay, I've said inflation, bad inflation. I haven't used hyperinflation, but there are analysts that are smarter than me that are using that word, and that scares the hell out of me. Not a happy ending, I know, but I don't know what I can tell you. But it sure doesn't look good from where I'm sitting. We'll be right back to conclude the show. You're listening to Money Matters. My name's Mark Cooper. Okay, and that does it for today's edition of Money Matters. This is show 340. Fun show to do. I've entitled show 340, Market Inconsistencies and Bipolar Reactions, and the Fed's box that they've painted themselves in. We did cover hyperinflation 2 weeks ago. So, by the way, the website is free. MoneyManagementRadio.com is the website. It's free. It's our way of saying thank you for listening to your community radio station. They can't charge for that. It's illegal. So it's free. You get all the past shows there. Okay? So you go MoneyManagementRadio.com. You listen to all my past shows. Take us about 2 or 3 days to post a show. Can't go back to show one, although someday I'll get them all up there. But I have all the shows in my possession. So I'd like to just remind you that discussions in this show on Money Matters is not to be construed as investment advice or a specific recommendation or solicitation to buy or sell anything. Always consult with your investment professional before making important investment decisions, okay? Investing involves risk, so realize that. You can lose all or part of your money. If you can't take risk, consider FDIC-insured products. FDIC, Federal Deposit Insurance Corporation, aka known as Uncle Sam, insures your deposits. And the views expressed are my opinions only. They do not necessarily reflect those of this station, its staff, management, or underwriters. As a disclaimer, I hold California Insurance License OL34249 and am a Medicare agent approved in the state of California. You can send me an email if you like, news@moneymanagementradio.com, news@moneymanagementradio.com. My name is Mark Cooniberti. I always end the show with something like, have a great day, go make some money, peace out, whatever. Thanks for listening. Get back.